Yo, what's going on? It's your boy Greg Lant. It's September 27th, 2017. Happy 27th, people. I love the number 27, so today is a great day. And I'm sick, if you can't hear it. I'm not like fucking deathly ill, but I'm acting like it because I'm a pussy. I never get sick, so I hate having a cold. I've gone through like 3 boxes of tissues in the last 2 days, and I don't know what it is. When I come back to LA, I always get sick like right away. It's the only time I ever get sick is when I leave LA, spend like a week somewhere else, and then come back to my apartment. And I don't know if it's like my apartment or if it's like just LA's dirty air or like what it is, but the flying, my sleep schedule, it's probably a combination of everything. But I'm good. I'm just like trying to drink these smoothies, man. I'm drinking one right now. Just like put some kale in that shit and cross your fingers. And yeah, I took like a multivitamin thing yesterday, and then I was reading the back of it. Yo, there's like so much extra in there. Like way too much extra shit. Like I thought I was taking like some iron and some magnesium and like some fucking vitamin D or whatever. And that's it. And you turn it over and it's like calcium phosphate and it's like something gum gel and something. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, can't we just have a fucking like supplement even that's just like pure? I'm sure there is, but this one I was taking, Nature Made multivitamin, something like that. I don't know. I just don't like eating fucking nasty shit. But then I'll like go around and I'll kill like 4 sleeves of Ritz crackers. I'm like, oh, I'm so pure. And then I like chug a 6-pack of beer, you know? Actually, I haven't been drinking that much compared to, I've had some bad stretches, but I haven't been drinking that much for the past, I don't know, 3 months, let's say. Like pretty much the summer, I didn't drink, which is funny because it's usually the opposite, right? But I haven't really wanted to. I've been in a pretty good place physically, feeling good. And then every time I drink, I just feel so bad. So I just cut it out of my, you know, my schedule. When I was in Connecticut, I had some drinks. Like I went out for the football game with my friends on Sunday and then had a wedding and obviously got like belligerent. No, I didn't get belligerent, but you know, feeling good. But yeah, now I'm coming back here and it's good to be back. I needed some time to reset and I did a lot of thinking as usual, but productive thinking, and had some nice time to myself in Connecticut, which, you know, I pretty much in LA, I spend most of the time by myself. But when I'm in Connecticut, in New York, I'm usually just like nonstop because, you know, I'm only home for like 5 days or 10 days or something. And I just have a lot of people I want to see, and there's usually stuff going on. And I didn't even go to New York City. I was in Connecticut for 10 days, maybe 10, 11 days. I didn't go to New York City once, which is definitely the first time that's ever happened. I did go to New York, but up in Tarrytown for the wedding. My homie got married, and it was a great ceremony and reception. The dude who got on the mic, like normally it's like the priest or the pastor or the rabbi or whatever. I don't think it was religious. It was just like some dude that was hosting it. And he was awesome. He like did this whole speech about love and it was like really good. Like normally they're super corny or they're reading it off like a poem or something. This guy was like going off the top. I mean, he's probably rehearsed it, but he was just saying it kind of like from his heart. And it was really good. And then there was like birds. It was outside. There was birds flying over and we were on the water. And then he started like making some, I don't know, references to like cartoon characters and like comic book characters and shit. But it was all, you could tell it was authentic to the dude. And therefore it was an authentic speech and it was nice. And then we danced our face off and stayed the night at the hotel. I mean, yeah, I fucking hate being hungover, dude. I just hate that feeling. It's like the fucking worst. It's just not worth it to go out and get fucking wasted and then just feel like shit. And then, you know, you set yourself back a day or two. It's just like, ugh. So I don't know. I haven't been drinking that much. I got back to LA. I landed at Burbank instead of LAX, and I had to walk for like a while to get the Uber. And I finally find my Uber pool, right? And there's like all these different places that you have to wait. Like they have all these different stands, like stand here for this, stand here for the ride, stand here for the fucking shuttle, stand here if you're in a pool, stand here, like whatever. And I was just standing where the fuck, right? So I'm looking at the guy on my phone, like his little car icon coming around the bend, and I see him, and I'm like, all right, there he is. Let me just walk over to him, right? So it's like a 2 or 3 lane little cul-de-sac thing, whatever, right? You can picture an airport. And he's in like the middle one, and there's like no cars. Like, there's one car, and there's a cop talking to the car. I didn't even see it at the time, but there's one car, and he's pulled over. And so my guy run, and I walk out to him with my bag, and I'm about to hop in, like literally just like go to reach for the door, like in stride, and the cop looks up from the car he's already giving someone a ticket to on an empty road, and he goes, hey, you guys. And he's like this older guy, and he's fat, and he's like angry, and he's just like, hey, he's like, do not get in there in the middle of the road. He's like, pull over there right now. Driver like starts yelling at him and yelling at me, and he's like, pull over right now, go over there. And he like, while he's giving this other guy a ticket, he can't fucking wait to give someone else a ticket, right? Oh, and the guy comes over and grabs his license. He's mid writing a ticket, goes, hey, walks over to the car, says, give me your license, takes his license and goes, pull over there. And so he goes, we go over, and I get in the car, and then the kid like kind of does this little U-turn to like pull over to the side, and he like ends up facing the wrong way in the road, which is just like he was obviously rattled, and that was a terrible decision, especially with this guy like freaking out, like why would you ever do that? But he turns around his car, and so now the guy comes over like a minute later, and I'm sitting in the car with the dude now, and I'm like, yo, just like do whatever he says, because the kid's kind of freaking out. He's like younger than me. I'm like, just do what he says. You know, this guy clearly has like a lot of pain in his life. Like you can just tell. He's trying to take it out on you. Don't, you know, just tell him what he wants to hear and try and get out of here. So the guy comes over and he goes, get out of the car. And the kid's like, all right. And he gets out and he's like, what do you think you were doing? What do you think you were doing in the middle of the road? It's dangerous. And then you turn around and you drive the wrong way on the road. He's like, you know how much this is going to cost you, right? You know how much this is going to cost you. And the guy's like, sir, I'm so sorry. He's like, and then he says the best thing, right? He goes, I felt intimidated and I didn't know what to do, sir. And the guy, like, you could tell he kind of like got his little jollies off on that. Like, you know, because he was on some fucking power trip to begin with. That was like what he wanted. He wanted like someone to like feel below him. And he's like, look, he's like, I'm gonna get you off with a written warning here. And the kid's like, oh, thank you so much. He's like, this could have cost you $750. Like, literally, the kid did nothing. I walked up to his car, and that was all that happened. And he gives him this ticket. And there's two check boxes on it for like $100 for each one. But apparently, like, Uber's responsible for it. But knowing Uber, this kid's not going to get drilled, you know, $200 coming out of his paycheck. And, you know, we're driving home, and he's like, what should I do? What should I do? And I'm like, you know, write an email to Uber, fucking call Uber. Like, I'll leave a comment on the ride. Like, if you need them to reach out to me, like, I got your back. And he's like, all right, thanks, dude. Like, and the whole way he's like, so what do you think I should do? And I'm like, I told you, just like get out in front of it, like reach out to Uber, let him know the situation. This guy was a nut, da da da. And he's like, all right. And then like at the end of the ride, he like asked me again, and then like he's like, let me get your number and like your email. And I'm like, sure. And then, you know, I get home and he's like texting me like all night and like the next morning, and I'm like, bro, like I'll help you out. Like, and I even wrote like a long comment on the ride. Like, just figure, like, at the end, I was just like, yo, like, I've never been an Uber driver. Like, I don't know how this is gonna go, but like, just reach out to them and just like figure it out. Like, you're a big boy. But the cop was so out of line, dude. And it's like, you're an airport cop at like a small airport, and you just like, I mean, I'm not trying to like judge. It's just like, it's so evident when people are just like empty inside, and it's sad. Like, I feel bad for that guy. It's just like, you look at someone and it's like, how, you know, you're so desperate for confrontation, for like a position of power, for degrading and like minimizing others. What is happening in your life, or what is not happening in your life, you know, that this is your outlet? And it could take much worse forms, I suppose, but it's sad that that's kind of where we are. There's a lot of people that just, they don't know how to deal with their emotions. And it's so important that we all look at ourselves and be like, well, what could I have done better? You know, like, instead of just blaming like the other person, it's like, I just try and make it like everything's my fault. You know, I try and make everything's my fault. Even when I know I'm quote unquote right in the situation, it's like, well, I could have done something better, or else it wouldn't have fucking happened that way. Like, something I could have done. I try to be accountable for everything that I can be, and I'm definitely not perfect, but I'm starting to notice faster and faster when I fuck up. Sometimes it'll be like right after, sometimes it'll be right during. I'll be doing it and I'll be like, wow, you suck. Right? And it's like, I want to be super hard on myself, but I also don't want to be hard on myself. Like, just, you know, you're doing your best, but you also have to be like aggressive with what you want to change, and like be like, yo, that's it again. Like, you're doing it again. Like, work, like, figure that shit out. But also like not beating yourself up about it. Like, you can't be like, you did it again, you piece of shit. Like, why are you not changing fast enough? Why are you treating people like that? You're such a, you know, whatever, like name calling yourself and kind of beating yourself up about it. Like, that doesn't do you any good. And the way that like I really even started getting into a lot of like this self-reflection shit is just like reading books, right? I mean, videos are good. Videos are easy to consume. But there's something about reading a book where you do the visualizing, where it just has that extra element of stickiness, I guess, in your brain, because you were already forced to, it wasn't just pushed upon you. And reading a book is not enjoyable and it takes longer, but there's something like warm about it to me. There's like this warm feeling when you read a book, and it's the messages that get through there, they sit deeper with me. I was walking to the grocery store on Monday, or was it Sunday? It might have been Sunday, yeah, during football. In between the games, I went to walk to the grocery store, and I saw a sign for a garage sale. And I was like, oh, cool, like, let me check it out. Because sometimes you can find like little quirky things there that are either worth money or just interesting. And I went and I saw a bunch of these books, and I was like, oh, let's see. And they had a couple books that I thought looked cool. One was called Anxious to Please, Seven Revolutionary, let me just look at it. Seven Revolutionary Practices for the Chronically Nice. So not that I'm like a fucking super nice person, but you know, when you like, I have to, you know, you feel like you have to be nice, and like, you just kind of like nod and smile and shit. Like, I'm trying to break through that. So that seemed like an interesting one. And then I got another one. It's Not How Good You Are, It's How Good You Want to Be. And the kid that was selling it was like, yo, that's a really good book. Read that. So, yeah, you know, just like motivational books, but more than that, they're practical books. Like, they give you actual hard advice, tactics to use to make yourself better. I also ordered How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, which I guess is like the fucking Bible for treating people right and all those things. And I only read the first chapter, and it's just about not complaining and mostly not criticizing. And it's such a good way to put it. I never really, you know, I always talk to myself and I'm like, stop judging other people, right? That's the one that like is the hardest. It's like I find myself judging and putting it in the way of criticizing, because then when you openly judge, or when you openly like, you know, even when you think you're doing it from the right place, you're still criticizing. And unless it's constructive criticism that was asked for, just don't criticize, because you're just going to make the other person resent you and they don't actually hear you. And I want to kind of pound through this book, but I also want to take it slow, because I feel like, you know, you read a chapter and then you spend a week kind of working on whatever it is that you took from it. There was another book I read just like that, where I kind of took it day by day. It was called Your Erroneous Zones. Was that the one? No, that wasn't. It was by Wayne Dyer, who's the same author who wrote that. But which one was it? He's got a bunch of books. I Can See Clearly Now. That wasn't it either. There was another one. Wisdom of the Ages. I think that was it. And every chapter was like a little piece from, you know, what, Edgar Allan Poe or Winston Churchill or Buddha or just like random people throughout history that were great, and something they said or wrote. And then Wayne Dyer gives his, you know, take on it and kind of like what you can gain from it. And then you just go about your day and kind of like try and smack that shit in the face. So yeah, I think that's a cool way to use books as like textbooks, you know what I mean? Like study them and kind of use them as guides for practice in your real life, because you're not just going to read something and then you're that, you know? It's not like The Matrix where you can just download fucking I know Kung Fu.
Show me.
It's like you need to actually rep it. You need to rep it. And yeah, so I'm going to be doing some more reading, and I did something fucking dumb today, but I got lucky and got out of it. But I tried to like day trade for a second. I have, you know, I was talking about this Bitcoin and cryptocurrency shit, and today I was like, because it went on a run today. We're up like 8% today. It went from like 30, like 900, and now it's at like 4,200. It's doing really well today. And I was like, you know what? Let me just sell some of it right now. And then like, it'll probably drop and I'll just buy some back. Then as soon as I sent it, as soon as I put in the fucking sell order, it jumped up like $20. And I was like, I immediately was just like, dude, you are a fucking idiot. Like, what are you even doing? Like, put your money where you fucking think it's going to be good and just leave it. Don't fucking, you're trying to day trade? What the fuck are you doing, you dumb? So that's what, like, I beat myself up a little bit about that for a second there. But then I, you know, I got lucky and it came back down and I made like $5. I bought it back a couple bucks cheaper. And there's a way to do it on this exchange that I use where there's actually no fees. So I didn't have to pay, you know, $10 a trade or whatever. I just kind of got my shares back and made literally like $5, maybe like $3. But for me, it was just like, get back in at the price you just sold out at, you dumb schmuck. Like, just don't do that. Like, you're not cool. Don't do that. But yeah, it's exciting, man. It crossed some big thresholds today, Bitcoin and the crypto market. Wow, it's going nuts right now. It's crazy. You can just watch the exchange and you can watch every trade on this exchange like as it goes. And the volume is crazy that's coming in. And yeah, it's exciting, man. It's exciting. I think there's going to be some big money made in the next like few months. Whatever. I feel like I'm just rambling at this point. Back in LA, back on the grind. Oh yeah, I charted 2 football games on Sunday night. I think I actually might even get them someone else on the team, which would be a good look for me. Shit's gonna be popping soon. I feel it. For now, I'm gonna wrap this up and I'll talk to you next week. Hopefully I have some more stuff to say and I'm not sick, so wish me luck getting out from under this cold. I will catch you next week. Peace out, son.